You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my very special guest is Lindsay Vistola of Body Project Fitness and Lifestyle, and also the editor of PFP Magazine. You know, Lindsay is kind of everywhere in the fitness industry, from, you know, serving as the editor of a magazine, having a very successful local business that really kind of checks a lot of boxes in her community. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then she's also, you know, a really well-regarded and influential, you know, speaker and contributor on podcasts and everything else. Really a true leader in our fitness industry, as well as a good friend. So it is my honor to welcome Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Rigsby. Always humbling to be introduced like that. So thank you so much.
So let's kind of walk back from where you are today, where you're kind of the do-it-all CEO, editor, all that fun stuff, juggling the fact that, you know, that you're also a busy mom. And let's kind of walk it back. How did you get into the industry as a whole?
I like to start, it really was about 10 years old when my dad put me on a squat rack. And he played college football at a time when lifting weights as a lineman was something you just didn't do because, you know, you might, I don't know what they thought, right? You might get too bulky or you get too slow and you might lose weight. So he was one of those headstrong against the wind from the beginning. And so he took me to the gym when I was 10 years old and put me on a squat rack. And it was in those old, you know, sort of dirty, rusty, you know, just good old, you know, gym. And I loved it. And it was incredible. He took, you know, really taking me the bare bones of weightlifting. And I loved how it made me feel. So anyway, and I know so many people listening really have that same connection in some way or another, was an athlete. But in high school, I used to work as just a volunteer athletic, student athletic trainer. So we got to train. I grew up in Hawaii. So I know, tough life, right? Grew up in Hawaii. But we used to train the Hula Bulls and the Pro Bulls. And so really got to see, you know, got to work with athletes. But I worked with Health South, if you recall. I don't even think they exist anymore, but they're a physical therapy company. And I got to work with, you know, you would have the athletes come in and then you'd have the 80-year-old woman after a hip replacement that you got to be a part of helping feel better and just live daily life. And I knew deep down it was something I loved and was fulfilling, but when it came to deciding what I wanted to be when I grew up, I thought I had to do something quote unquote bigger and more important. And I ended up going to school in Washington, D.C. for international politics. Studied international politics. I lived in Japan for about a year and a half. I studied Japanese, came back, and once I graduated, moved up to the New Jersey area and worked in New York City for about 8 years and managed and worked very typical corporate, you know, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, a lot of travel. Great money, managed a division of about 30 employees. And it was, you know, a multi-million dollar division that I managed at really a young age, and so many skills and experiences. But there was one point where I realized, looking around, you know, the train at 11 o'clock at night and saying, at what point does the young and have the energy to do this? When does it stop? And so I very unexpectedly left that position, not really knowing what I was going to do. And my father was an entrepreneur, and I think I've always sort of had that bug, I guess, if you would call it. And I said, well, you know what, if there's any time, what better time than now to really pursue something that I think is more purposeful and fulfilling? So I, you know, went out and did my certifications and started my business with $624 that I had from high school, from a high school account. And with that, I purchased my first, it was an advertorial in a local women's newspaper. And it was kind of a stretch. I started going to some networking events. And at that time in life and business, it was very much this fake it until you become it. Or, you know, they say fake it until you make it, but I really like it, you know, fake it until you become it. So it was almost as if, you know, I had to sort of, there, failure wasn't an option because I was starting this business. It was just at-home personal training. And very soon I was working what felt like more hours than I was when I was commuting to New York City. But it was mine. And it was great because you could see the potential to shape it in any way that I wanted to. So the business very quickly grew from, I realized, I said, there's only so many hours in a day. I'm driving more miles in my car, you know, in a week than I did oftentimes in a month or two. And I'm trading my time for dollars. So I was one of the first in the area here. I'm in central New Jersey to do outdoor boot camps. And that was really sort of when they were, I guess this at this point was about 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. And started a boot camp. I partnered with our local township. I used batting cages. It was a 3-day-a-week program and very quickly turned into, Lindsay, when are you going to do it again? It turned into a monthly membership. We then expanded. I had 3 locations. I had a team of trainers that taught at each of the locations. And it was a really great, afforded me a lot of freedom where I wasn't, you know, bound. I moved away from a lot of my one-on-one personal training. And that's where a lot of the opportunities in the industry kind of budded from there in terms of, you know, everything with the magazine, and because I knew there was so much more to be able to do in this industry. So, and then let's see, it'll be almost 5 years. Sort of the next step was opening up the studio. We were just limited in terms of what we could do with this really avid community that we had developed. So having our own space has now given us the opportunity to do seminars and workshops and a lot of the education mindset based things that I think is a bigger part of my brand than even just, you know, the actual physical fitness part of it, which obviously is a big part of it. But we were able to do the, you know, and offer the multifaceted services that I really wanted to. So that, you know, in a not so small nutshell, you know me by now, Pat, I can't, you know, being succinct isn't quite my forte. But if that gives you kind of an idea in the last at least 12 years in this industry where I've gone.
So what's the business look like today?
So my business today is my studio space is, let's see, I have one larger studio. It's about 2,000 square feet. And then I have a neighboring studio space just under, I think it's about 800 square feet. And we are a model that is focused. We are all women. And that really has been a differentiating factor for us. I think we've really hit a niche of women that isn't being served. They aren't being served by, you know, there are women, if you were to ask, you know, what does your business look like in terms of who do you serve? I can't even pinpoint it to a demographic. I like to look at it from a psychographic standpoint. So our typical client could be 27 or she could be 67, but she's in a mindset of, you know, I've tried everything else and I failed. I feel anonymous when I go to a big gym and it's never worked. I've tried diet after diet. And she knows at the end of the day, she finally is at a point where she sees value in bringing someone else in to give her more structure, more guidance, and almost like the sense of worth. I think they want the attention. So we're a small group. When I say small group for us, that's anywhere between 6 to 12 women in a class, reservation based. We do create programs for women. So when a woman comes in, we do assessments. We see, you know, how conditioned they are, where they need to be fit. So we do offer yoga, strength training, kind of a myriad. And I can talk about that a little bit and how we came to choose what we offer. Because I think that's important when people open up studios or their own spaces is, okay, what do I offer based on what I think my core clientele wants and finding that happy medium. So when they come in, it's personalized where, you know, we might have the same, where everybody has a different program, even though we're offering the same schedule, if you will. Beyond that, and how I like to describe Body Project is by square footage, we're fitness, but really at a core of what we do is lifestyle and habit change. So most of our clients are coming in, if you were to talk about our funnel, if you will, the core of our clients come in through our program called the 8-Week Body Project. And that really morphed from doing challenges and transformations. And I'm sure many listening can identify that that's a big part of the fitness industry, but it didn't really resonate with me. I said, why are these women, you know, they're staying with it and they're doing these challenges and they're excited by them, but why do they keep coming to me and saying, Lindsay, when's the next challenge? When's the next transformation? And I'm thinking to myself, well, the whole point of a transformation is that you transform and it changes your life, right? Your habits and everything change. And we know it's so much deeper than just doing a transformation. You know, habit and behavior change takes time and there's strategy and practice to it. So with the 8-week, what it became really was a lifestyle program that became very integrated with mindset, nutrition, accountability, structure, understanding, you know, getting a better self-awareness of how they operate, why do they keep going to certain diets. So it's a lot of emotional intelligence, self-awareness for the individual. So it's not the woman coming for a quick fix, and we're very transparent about that. They're not going to come. We never guarantee results, interestingly. And I think that's worked for us. But they're coming in looking for something that will serve them long term because they've been burned by the short term before. And I think for us, that's our real unique selling proposition when they come in, is that I think we're transparent about it. They've already failed and they want a place for value and accountability. So yeah, that's kind of the biggest is that 8-week body project, the fitness component. And that's kind of where our business stands right now.
So how many clients do you serve? And I know that you've got kind of a multifaceted business with some corporate stuff and everything. So
how many do we serve? So in our studio space, we offer two different programs. So we have our monthly membership program, and that is basically gives them quote unquote, and I say unlimited access to classes. This is based on what our guidance to them is and some other benefits to monthly membership. And then we offer class packs as well, but 85% of our business is the monthly memberships, and those are $199 a month. And right now we have, it's 150 or so. We kind of hover right around there, and that's a good number for us to manage of regular membership. And then the remainder of it being our session packs, if you will. Other avenues that we're serving in terms of revenue, we do also do personal training. That's become a bigger part of our business. We do workshops, you know, as an additional revenue stream. So workshops and then our 8-week body project really is our biggest funnel in terms of, well, that initial revenue and then conversions to memberships.
Very cool. So tell me, how does the editorial role fit into all of this?
It's really funny, people. It's really like wearing two hats, but they're so intertwined. And why I love doing it is, so I started, 2011, I came on as editor. And for those of you listening, if you're not familiar, it's Personal Fitness Professional magazine or media. So we have a print magazine that is a free magazine for fitness professionals and, you know, a lot of online content on our website and so on. And when I first started getting into the industry and knew that I never worked in a gym. I worked out in plenty of gyms, but I never worked in a gym. So my history in terms of where I came in, I think is maybe a little bit different. I just kind of came right out, started my own business. And so I was searching for how to market the business, how to charge people, just basic fundamental business nuts and bolts, not just general, but specific to the fitness industry. And it was really hard to find, or at least to find it in a cohesive way that I felt that I could follow for my business. And PFP magazine was one of the first sort of what I felt was a credible resource. And so I followed it. And this is, you know, I think what really is such a testament to the importance of getting out from behind the computer and going to live events and working in masterminds and working with coaches, because you never know who you will meet. And that's how I met Shelby, who was the previous editor. We were in a mastermind group together. And it was funny, I heard her speak at an event and I said, you know, I had read the magazine at that point. I said, you know what? I want her job one day. And sure enough, you know, a few years later, she was ready to move on. We had created this great relationship and she put my name out there as the editor. And why I like it is because it helps me keep a finger on the pulse of the industry. So that helps me parlay that into my business, which is a great side benefit. On a bigger sense, because we're focused on the career of fitness, the trends in fitness, not trends in terms of exercises, but trends in terms of where is the industry going. I think in some small way, I have this, I can play a role in really up-leveling our industry, because I think there's a lot to be done there. It's come a long way, but there's so much more to go to really make this a meaningful lifelong career for fitness professionals, because I think that'll serve us better. I mean, the attrition rate, I mean, as you know, Pat, in this industry is pretty pathetic. So we really, you know, I think because we just, it's that knowledge base and putting in the eyes of the consumer and bringing ourselves up a little bit. And that for me, PFP fills that gap. And I love writing. And so that it gives me a nice balance of the practical of the business and working with clients. And then with the magazine, really being able to look at it from a bird's eye view.
So let's kind of talk about from where you are to maybe what's next for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you've accomplished a whole lot of things and pulled double duty, you know, just, I mean, having a very young child, mm-hmm. another child. And yep. So what's next for you?
So if I might, you know, it's so interesting as an entrepreneur, and I understand now why there's all these entrepreneurial studies and these, you know, psychology around the entrepreneurial mind, is the importance of evolving. And it can be really hard to evolve in such an emotionally tied profession, right? Because you work with clients that, I mean, I've had clients now that I've had with me for 11 and 12 years since I started the business. And so what is my evolution? How can I continue to evolve and still feel like I'm serving in a way that I want to? And that's always been a question for me, you know, making sure, and this is, Pat, I know you didn't pay me to say this, but your message since that first time I've heard you speak, and you, just that phrase, ideal business, and what does it look like for you? So many people, I think, go into business and end up, especially in our industry, we start doing it for others and we don't do it for ourselves. And I've seen myself do that. And that's where it doesn't become my ideal business anymore. Does that make sense? So if I was where I am, you know, it's great. The studio business is great. But for me, it's always the what's next. I've done something great. How can I do something maybe that helps continue to fulfill me? And I think for me, what that looks like is how can I take the great community that we've built in our area of support, of education, how can I expand that now? And what does that look like? So what excites me about the future is how can I take my 8-week program, for example, in some way, and how can I expand that, whether it be online, whether it's a licensed program that other fitness professionals or health professionals can integrate. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And that's what's exciting. So my always sort of takeaway from that is you have to do what excites you, because the minute that it starts to get boring, your numbers are going to follow, you know, your energy. And especially, you know, and I have to continue to tweak my what my business looked like and my role, especially with two young children, to make sure that my ideal business is fitting into what sort of my ideal day-to-day looks like, you know, with all those other responsibilities and priorities in my life.
So with all of that and, you know, all the things that you've done and learned through this evolution and these various roles, if you had two or three suggestions or tips for, you know, people that have a business in our industry but would like it to be a more fulfilling business or a more successful business or hopefully both, what might those be?
I think number one is, and it's just really quite simple, then I'll get three other bonus ones because this one's really simple, is self-awareness and the importance of paying attention to how you are as a business owner, as a manager, what you really want, and having those honest conversations with yourself about that. So when I first started, you know, I had, you know, I'm just going to use the number, but I had the aspiration of having a $5 million business. Okay, great. But I didn't have children. I didn't have these other sort of priorities that were pulling at me. And now 12 years later, maybe it's not $5 million as my marker of success. You know, what am I willing to sort of, I don't want to say give up, but, you know, okay, in order to have more freedom with my family, what will I can't really think of another way to put it, but, you know, to give up basically. Is the $5 million still as important to me as freedom to pick my kids up from school and do what I need to do? So having those self-awareness, very honest conversations, always is really important because they'll look differently. Something that's resonated with me, you know, another point I think is, you know, what does a day well spent look like? A coach told me that a few months ago, and that's really resonated because, again, that will determine your success and shaping your business. So what does a day well spent look like? Is it waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning to train clients, to, you know, barely eat your breakfast, to then, you know, have to do sales and clean up your studio and, you know, then go to networking events? Does that fuel you? And if it does, fantastic. But if that's not what fuels you, what does a day that is well spent look like? And then how do you start shaping your business in order to meet that? And I think that's something that's really important. So you start getting out of feeling like you're obliged to do all of those tasks. And I think just to final, maybe a little bit more nuts and bolts of like a business, if you will, is, you know, there's a lot of talk about taking massive action and you have to take these big actions and take these big risks. And that's the only way that you're going to survive. And I think as an entrepreneur, depending on how you operate, that can feel very scary, which can put us into paralysis. I know that does for me. At least now it does. When I first started my business, it didn't quite as much, but for me now, it's what are the small wins? What are the small steps that I need to take in order to put my business where it needs to be? And that comes with listening to my business. So listen to your business. Listen to what people are telling you. I was so anti-challenges and transformations because I didn't feel like it was aligned with what we offered. But everybody kept coming back, all of our members, and that was really what they wanted. And I said, how can I still do this? Give them what they want, give them what they need, but still do it in a way that's authentic to us. And I think when I've listened to my business, heeded that, and evolved as necessary, I think that's what's important. Everything down to how you manage your staff, you're going to know if there's a staff member that, you know, doesn't resonate with your membership, or there's just something that's amiss. But if you're not listening to the business, I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense to listen? Listening to your business, looking at the numbers. I mean, it's the same thing. It's looking at the black and white, but also the some of the nuances that might be telling of where you take your business next.
Well, that makes perfectly good sense to me. And what does a day well spent look like just goes down as like my favorite quote of the month for sure. So thank you for that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if the listeners want to learn more about you and what you had to do, and obviously it's not even an if, clearly they will. This has been outstanding. Where can they find you?
So probably two best places for to just check out my Body Project, my fitness business. If you go to bodyprojectfitness.com, and that's just my local business there. And then fit-pro.com. So fit-pro.com. That's the personal fitness professional magazine, PFP magazine. It's a free subscription. You know, I'm not selling anything if I'm giving it away for free, right, Pat? It's a free subscription. We send out 4 hard copy issues a year. Great content with fantastic contributors like Pat, and just really good content that I think any fitness professional at any stage of their business can value and can get a lot of value from. So those are really kind of the two best places to find me. Feel free to reach out. Facebook, I'm on Facebook, email, all my contact information is there as well.
Well, we'll make sure all of that shows up in the show notes so people can certainly connect with you. And I can't tell you how much of a pleasure this has been. It's been wonderful to listen to kind of, you know, some of the backstory that I didn't even know particularly well, and just, you know, learn more about how you're having such a powerful impact both with fellow professionals and with your local community. So thank you, Lindsay, and thank you all for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.